setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you from Nashville, the Music City, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. 844-747-2577. That's the number. This is your show. It's all about you. The only talk radio show in America that's completely focused on your purpose, your career, work that matters. 844-747-2577. The number. Get to your calls momentarily. I'm really excited. I talked about this a couple days ago. And a little bit later in the show, I'm going to tell you the difference between a vision statement, a purpose statement, and a mission statement. A lot of people, many of you listening right now, going, well, Ken, is there a difference? There absolutely is a difference. And I'll tell you what the difference is, what you are trying to answer with each of those three statements, and why it is so important. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up. But let's get started. Andrew's on the line in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Andrew, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Hope you are.
Yes, sir.
I want to give you a kind of a quick background on me. I'm 30. I'm married. I have a 2.5-year-old kid. Fresh out of high school, I started in community college with pursuing an associate in criminal justice degree. I did not finish that at that time. About 8 years later this year, I've started and I'm about to finish that associate degree in criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
But about 5-6 months ago, I've discovered, you know, I want to make more money than what a police officer would be able to afford me, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a really strong drive for computers, technology. So in the spring, I'm going to be starting a computer science degree through Liberty. My question is, I'm very much paycheck to paycheck right now.
Mm-hmm.
I could start as a police officer and make about $12,000 more a year,
mm-hmm.
make about $31,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if that's something that I should pursue. I am very much interested in it, but that being said, I don't feel like that's my ultimate goal.
Well, what's your ultimate? Sense. It does, but let's, before I answer that, because you're looking at that as a straight money move right now, that it gives you more money while you take the computer science degree.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I get a 25% discount through Liberty as a first responder.
Well, so. I've got no problem with it because it's still progress. And,
so
progress to me is progress. It's not the dream job, but rarely is any kind of early move a dream job. So, to me, if it's about progress and it helps fund the dream and it's something you're interested in anyway and it's not a long-term play, I'm fine with it. I really am. As long as you don't get into it and go, well, I feel like I got to be a police officer for 10 years. No, you don't.
Right, right.
So, I'm fine with that.
It's a lot of trouble to get hired on in law enforcement. It's a huge process, you know. But
I get it, but
I guess my...
What's your ultimate goal? That's what I want to know.
My ultimate goal, I don't want this to sound conceited or whatnot.
It's not. Just say it.
I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
I want to be able to make substantially more money. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
As long as I'm willing to put in the hard work.
No, but you like technology. You like computers. What would be the dream job in technology?
Absolutely. Now, a merging of the two interests, there are some very interesting careers through FBI government agencies. There are some FBI STEM jobs.
Okay, but again, you're not answering my question. I'm putting you on the spot on purpose. I don't care if the answer changes. I just want to know, at this very moment, if I could give you a dream-like gig in technology, what would you be doing? Is it a marriage? Would you be in technology, cybersecurity, in the FBI or the CIA? I don't care what the answer is. Tell me what the answer is. Just say it.
To be honest, it would probably be working for a government agency or subcontracted through a government agency to do security type work.
Okay, great. So you're paycheck to paycheck right now. You have a J-O-B right now. And I know it is a tough process and a lengthy process, but so is you getting this computer science degree or whatever you're getting ready to do.
Yeah, it'll be another 2.5 years.
Right. So go ahead and okay, my point is, I think you should go ahead and try to become a police officer. That gives you some really good experience. It's going to give you more money and could very well bring you tremendous connections that once you get that technology degree and the experience that you could do exactly what you're talking about. So I think it's a good move. I like where your head's at. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Carmella, who's on the line in Albany, New York. Carmella, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Good to speak with you.
Well, it's good to speak with you.
I was just calling looking for some help based on my current situation. I have been in operations management role for about 15 years with increasing levels of responsibility. So I'm currently in a senior management position in my company, but in an operations management role. My question is that my favorite part of the job, though, and I think what everybody else sees around me as well, is about coaching and leadership development and helping others share feedback and team development. So I'm finding lately we're very busy at work, and I have minimal time to dedicate to that strength of mine. I'm happy with the company. I'm happy with my peers, but and my supervisor and the whole thing. But I feel like what I'm meant to be doing is more of that executive coaching. And I don't know if I should be satisfied with just doing it when I can fit it into the day as I have been doing, or if I should start looking for a side hustle or something outside of work that really helps feed that passion as a consultant, possibly. Kind of like Patrick Lencioni, when you have him on, that's where I light up.
Yeah.
We're using his books actually right now to grow our team. Good. And I'm helping with that with the 5 dysfunctions of a team.
Well, I think you gave me and the audience and yourself 3 really good options. And I think it's any one of those options, maybe a couple at a time. So maybe you try to do it on the side. If you have limited time, then you can only do it in a limited role. But I think you're looking for, to me, I think the best path, if I were your friend or husband or brother or somebody even close in your life, having heard what I heard, I'd say the first option is to look for a different role where you're less in operations and you're more in true a leadership role, where you're getting that opportunity to coach individuals on your team and lead a team. Now, is that a consultative nature within a company or outside? I don't know, but I think you're looking at either going to work for a coaching company like that, you know, like a table group, which is Pat Lencioni's team, or you're looking for a new leadership role. You have tons of experience. I think you should look outward. You love your company, so there's no reason for you to get desperate right now. You're in a really solid situation. So I would look outward to find a true leadership position that encompasses what you want to do all day, every day. I would then use my proximity principle and get around people that are doing some of that executive coaching and interview them and learn everything about the industry. That way you're going to find out, is this really where I want to go? So that's your homework, and the answer will reveal itself. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman here with my wife, Stacy. Studies show that smiling improves your physical and emotional health.
That's why we love the Burst Sonic toothbrush.
The unique soft charcoal bristles powerfully remove plaque-causing bacteria.
I really love the 3 modes, whitening, sensitive, and massage, and they look fantastic on our counter.
Burst Smart and Affordable Replacement Head Subscription is just $6 every 90 days. So visit burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to grab a Burst brush for as low as $49.99. That's burstoralcare.com. Helping you work like no one else so that later you can work like no one else. How about getting rid of the 40-hour grind and showing up on Monday morning fired up? Leaving Friday afternoon feeling rewarded because you've done work that you're good at and that matters deeply to you. This is sweet spot living, living in the sweet spot where your talents intersect with your passion. In other words, you use what you do best to do what you love to do most. It is doable. The American dream is still very much alive, but how about we put the dream in it? The American dream is, to many people, just opportunity to make money and keep making more money so you can buy more stuff. I want to put the pure usage of the word dream back into that phrase. It's not the American dream, it's the universal dream. Everybody longs to pursue, as Thomas Jefferson said, happiness. We define happiness as meaning, significance. It's not walking around with a smile on your face all the time. Life can be tough. So that is our pursuit. Coming up next segment, I'm going to walk you through what a vision statement is, what a purpose statement is, what a mission statement is. They're very different, but they all work together. And it's very important for anybody who is wanting to live on purpose to understand what these statements are, why they matter, and how we use them. 844-747-2577. We go to Shakita, who's on the line in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Shakita, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. Yes, I have some. I have ideas of my skills, but I can't seem to find a career to like push me forward to make me happy with, you know, like your sweet spot, like you speak about.
Okay, so you feel like you have the top skills and talents that you exhibit, but you're not quite sure what the passion work is. Is that what you're talking about? Identifying,
yes,
what that work is. Okay, well, let's look at the talent side of things. Let's just take that piece of paper. It's imaginary for you listening, but right here in my moleskin, I've got a piece of paper, and I'm going right down the middle with a line. On the left side are Shakita's talents, strengths, and skills. On the right side are passions. This is not hobby level stuff. We're talking about work, work that makes her come alive, work that she looks forward to and gets great value out of. Let's talk about what you do best, Shakita. If I talk to everybody that knows you, they would say what?
That I'm a good counselor, somebody good to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like helping homeless families. I like helping people with budget, like, get, you know, come out of situations when they don't think they can.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy planning, like, family vacations for my family when they don't think they're able, they can do it, you know, in a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are type. I like working with people and kids. I'm very friendly. But right now, I'm a teacher assistant.
Mm-hmm.
With special needs students.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make that much. I'm a single mom of three.
Right.
It's not working.
Okay. How much would you like to be making? I mean, and I don't mean some absorbent amount that you've never even processed. I mean, just what would be a real nice bump for you that would give you margin?
$50,000.
Okay. All right. So that's really important that you write that down and have a mindset of what is it going to take for me to make $50,000? Now, here's what I love about this, Shakita. I asked you to tell me what you're talented at, and the first thing you said was counseling, and then you immediately went into all the things that you love to do. So you jumped over into that passion list, which I love. That's fantastic, because we know what really fires up your soul. It's just how do you find, or what is, or what are, rather, because there's multiple roles. But I want to go back just for a moment, because you said you're good at counseling, which means you're a good listener. My guess is you're also a good communicator. Is that fair? Was that what people would tell me? Okay. So you're good at listening, good at communicating. If you're good at counseling, I'm also assuming that you have discernment and empathy. You could put yourself in people's shoes, and you're able to kind of get down into what's really going on. Is that a true statement?
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else is not on that list? Is that the top of the top of the top of everything that Shakita does well? Those are the top things. Is there anything else?
That's all I can think of right now. I'm a little nervous.
Well, but I mean, that's what you do best. That's what you're known for.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I'm known for, yes.
All right. It's interesting to me that you said you enjoy planning for others, helping them come up with a plan when they don't think there's a way. You mentioned family vacations. I think that's more personal. So I don't think you want to be a travel agent. I don't think I hear that. What I think I hear is a form of counseling, which could be coaching, instructing. You're a teacher's assistant right now. You are passionate about helping people with their finances and money and things of that nature. So the issue is, you're also limited in your finances right now to be able to get to go get more qualifications. Am I right? You're limited?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah. So the thing that you have to focus on now is what is the Mount Everest type situation? And so I just want you to say it. I don't want you to focus on how you're limited right now, being a single mom with three kids. You know, your salary right now is not where you need it to be. Things are pretty tight. I don't want you to think about all that. I just want you to say, this would be it, Ken. Because I think you know what it is. I think you're getting hung up on a job title, money attached to that, and you're not quite sure how to get there. I think that's what you're dealing with. But I want you to just tell me what it is you'd love to do if I could give it to you. If I could snap my fingers and no risk, you just get to do it tomorrow. Describe what you'd be doing during the day. Don't get hung up on title and where it is. Tell me what you'd be doing.
Working with families.
How?
To help them come out of a situation, coming up with plans, helping them with resources.
Okay, but tell me, okay, this is great. You're on it now. But what are those families dealing with? Where are those families? Be real specific.
They're in homeless shelters. They're, mm-hmm. they are living with people. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find a way out. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do.
Okay, now, that's very specific. I love that. Who's helping those families? What organizations are doing that? You've got government and you've got private. So let's just break that down. There's two sectors that you need to be doing some research on. Who in your area, that's you've got the government side of things. So you're talking about state and local and federal government agencies that are somehow involved with those type of people that you want to help. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking as I talk here, then you've got your nonprofit ministry. So you got nonprofit, then you've got your faith-based nonprofit. That's how I would break that down if I was sitting down with you at a table. Okay.
Okay.
And so you understand what I'm saying so far, correct?
Yes.
And yeah, so what you do is you go, okay, who's serving those people right now? Because I'm not saying that's your next move, but what I am saying is you need to go get in proximity to those people. Okay, and I'm going to give you a copy of my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle, because I want you to actually read it and do it. It's an easy read, extremely practical. It's going to introduce you to five people that you need to get around, five places you need to get in. And what's going to happen is you're going to see, Shakita, that even though you're limited in time and money, you're not limited with relationships, and that's how you get opportunity. But you need to start hanging out in those places, even if you got to volunteer one day a week. Take the kids with you, you know?
Yes.
They can handle it. They need to see mama's heart for other people.
I agree.
So I start volunteering until you meet people. Let's see if we can get you a better paying job in that area than you're making right now as a teacher's assistant. But here's the deal. If you don't get it right away, that's okay. What you will then do is focus on, all right, how do I stay in proximity until I get an opportunity to get hired? Is it going to be social work? Is it going to be, you know, more of a counseling, guiding type situation? I see that being a really potential nice opportunity for you in the nonprofit or ministry-based world. You know, what missions and things are like that are out there helping those people? And it's going to take some time, but you need to also do the research on, you know, 50,000. Can I make 50,000 helping the disenfranchised, the people that are behind the eight ball? That's probably a government agency as well. So do some homework so you can see what all is out there. That's what you need to do next. Then it's not so scary. Do you understand what I'm saying, Shakita?
Yeah,
so
I do.
Hang on the line. Madison's going to give you a copy of my Proximity Principle. Use it. Get in those spaces, and you're going to find out a lot about how many different paths there are up that mountain to do the work that moves your heart. Oh, I love you, Shakita. Love the single moms. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show right around the corner. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show, helping you discover what you were created to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. Go to a social question from Andrew on Facebook. You can connect with us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/Ken Coleman Show. And we're also at Ken Coleman on Instagram and Twitter. Andrew writes in, all right, it's go time. My dream job just opened up and got the email that they are hiring. How do I play this? Do I call all my contacts tomorrow to put a word in for me and do an all-out assault on their inboxes with the Ken Coleman Show resume, or slow play it? Well, you got some of it right, Andrew. Number one, no assault on their inboxes. We don't want to send emails with resumes. It's just not effective. You might as well spit into the wind and hope for the best. Now, what you did get right is calling all your contacts tomorrow to put a word in for me. That is what we want to do. A resume is worthless without a relationship. We write about this in my free resume resource at kencoleman.com. It's one of three Get Hired guides. And so if you're interested in that, you can check it out. You'll also see our how to win the interview and the touch point timeline, how to follow up after the interview. So all three of those are free. And they got some meat to them. They're easy to read, but we're talking about multiple pages, 15, 16 pages, and we give you examples, especially my resume template. That has gone boom, boom. So, Andrew, what you do is you reach out, you use the right resume, which you talked about, the Ken Coleman Show resume, and you get those contacts to endorse you at the top of that resume section, who I know. And you want them to not just endorse you, but walk your resume into the hiring manager. If they know that person, they can email that person if it's from outside of the company, but you want other people promoting you. That's how we get interviews. Thanks for the question, Andrew. Facebook.com/Ken Coleman Show. Search Ken Coleman or at Ken Coleman on Instagram and Twitter. We're also on YouTube and LinkedIn as well. So there you go. All right. I told you that I was going to teach a little bit at the top of the program. If you're just joining us, thrilled to have you with us. I'm going to talk to you about the difference between a vision statement, a purpose statement, and a mission statement. Now, you hear this jargon a lot of times with corporations, and I've heard it thrown around so many times that people are confused. If I were to go out on the street today with a microphone and say, tell me the difference between a vision statement, a purpose statement, a mission statement, most people look at me and go, well, there isn't one. Well, that's not true. But I'm not here to debate that. What I want to do is tell you what these statements are, why they are important, and what they provide for you. So let's start with the vision statement. And this is for you. As you begin to walk in that discovery stage, stage one of realizing the dream, discovery. Stage one is all about discovery. What are my top talents? What are my top passions? How do they intersect? That's the sweet spot. In the sweet spot where you can use what you do best to perform what you love to do most, there are multiple career paths, multiple jobs, roles, functions. Now, so as we begin this process of discovery and you get that sweet spot clarified, now we write the vision statement. And this is, where do I want to go? It's why you ask me, it's why you hear me ask callers all the time. I'll put them on the spot and say, listen, if I could just give you the dream right now, what is it? And they say, bing. Okay, that is the where. The vision statement answers where I want to go. That's what a vision statement answers. The where. And that vision statement gives you clarity. I know my Mount Everest. You hear me use that analogy all the time. The top, the summit of your Mount Everest. That is the vision. It's a big statement. It is a 30-year minimum play. This is what I'm going to work hard for and long for. This is the dream job. This is the vision. Dream it. Let it be big. It's supposed to be. It answers the question, where do I want to go? And you do that because we need to be operating with tremendous clarity. Number two is the purpose statement. What is the purpose statement? Well, the purpose statement answers the why question. I know where I want to go, but I need to know, and others need to know, the why behind the vision. Purpose and the purpose statement answers the why I want to go there. Okay? I'm going to use my talents of blank, blank, and blank to do blank, blank, blank to arrive here because, and it's really the back half of that which we've talked about before, the purpose statement. I'm going to use my top talents of blank, blank, and blank to do blank. And that's the why. Because I want to do work that informs and instructs and pulls lower income families out of their situation and puts them on a path, you know, whatever it is. I'm using an example of our last caller. So that purpose statement answers the why I want to go there. And it's just, it's more specific than the destination because it shares the why. Okay. Now, the mission statement is how I will get there. This is more practical. By the way, before I move on, purpose gives you that conviction. It reminds you of your heart, your conviction. And then the mission statement is how I will get there. This is the how. This becomes very practical. This is what we cover in stage two of realizing the dream. This is the research. This is when we begin to dig and we begin to use the proximity principle to learn about the role and people who are doing what I want to do. What is it going to take to get there? What do I need to learn and do? How much is that going to cost? How long is it going to take? And so the mission statement becomes a very practical statement that tells us how I will get there. And that gives us confidence because it reveals that there is in fact a path. There's a clear path. It's there. So in review, the vision statement is where you want to go and it gives you tremendous clarity. The purpose statement is why you want to go there. And this gives you that conviction and helps you remain in that convicted state. This is what fires your soul. This is the juice I'm talking about. And then the mission statement is how I will get there. And this is a practical plan that will give you confidence that there is, in fact, obviously a path. There is a way to get there. This is not an impossible mountain to climb. So these statements, I've not talked about these much on the show yet, because this is kind of the behind the scenes stuff, but this is a practice that I'm more and more convicted that you all need to begin to do. So we've not introduced it to the show, and I'm doing so today because it's like, you know what? They just need to start doing this because this is a exercise you do as you are in discovery, figuring out that sweet spot. And in fact, the reason I'm introducing this is I think there are times where just the simple exercise of going, where do I want to go? What is that ultimate vision? That begins to allow your brain to identify specific passions, to identify the talent that you have to pull this off. Sometimes you got to come at it that way. Other times you got to just do the sweet spot exercise where you list out what you do best and what you love to do most, work that makes you come alive. So it's important that wherever it fits for you, that as an individual who wants to be on purpose and make the absolute most of their life, that they have these three statements. It's a game changer. And by the way, I want to make this point. Here's why I love using a pencil. It is the utensil that I use 98% of the time. I write with a pencil in the studio in my Moleskin. Why? When you begin to craft these statements, the vision statement, the purpose statement, the mission statement, write them in pencil and keep writing them in pencil because over time, you can edit these statements. It's not like you have to put all this pressure on yourself to make it the Magna Carta, the perfect statement. We are not chiseling this in stone. We are living with these statements. We are reviewing these statements. We are editing these statements. As we continue to progress, we will get more and more clarity. Write your vision statement. Write your purpose statement. Write your mission statement. Read them every day. Edit them. More of your calls coming up. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, folks. Shaking the shoulders in the studio there with that little tune. You know, it reminds me that everybody needs several playlists of mood musics. You know, I just made up a whole term, Joe. Mood musics. Why? I do this. I've got, listen, you know, depending on what mood I'm in and what mood I want to be in, I've got some music, you know, and hope you're having a great week. It occurs to me, it's Friday, Joe. I don't even know what day of the week it is. Why, you ask? Because every day's great. I love it. I love what I'm doing. I'm here. I love it. I don't know what day of the week it is. So I hope you're going into the weekend having made some progress, even if it's just staying with it. You didn't make a whole lot of forward progress, but you didn't quit, and you're largely where you started. That's pretty good. Because think about how many people fell off the path this week, and you're still on it. So bravo to you. Rest and recreate or recreate yourself this weekend. And hit the ground on Monday, full of purpose. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Thomas, who's on the line in Overland Park, Kansas. Thomas, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Honored to speak to you today. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. How can I help?
So I'm sensing that it's getting time to maybe make a job or role change. Just starting to get bored in my current position. And one of the things I'm running into that I'd like to get your insight on is how do I escape the golden handcuffs that I currently find myself in?
Well, I need to know more. I think I know what's going on, but I don't want to presume. When you say how to escape the golden handcuffs, do you mean, you know what? I'm not going to lead you. I think I know where this is going, but I want to hear you say it. What do you mean? Be more specific. What is keeping you in the handcuffs? You got a great situation. We know that because you said golden, not rusty handcuffs.
Yes.
So what's holding you back?
Yeah. So looking at options, either advancing within the organization or leaving the organization and starting my own thing. And when I say they've got me tied in pretty good, I'm talking about salary, bonuses, insurance, Roth 401k match and pension, 4 weeks paid vacation, 10 paid holidays, flexible schedule, work arrangements.
All right, we should stop now because, Thomas, there's a lot of unhappy people that listen to this show that are making voodoo dolls of you. So I feel like I know you're not rubbing it in, but yeah, we get the picture. You got it really good. Do you have any debt?
No, we're completely debt-free, house and everything.
How much money do you make?
With bonus, about $105 a year.
Okay. Do you have 6 months, 12 months in the bank expenses? What do you got?
Probably 12 to 18.
Ho-ho! Well, I think then to escape this is just identifying what your fears are. So I'm guessing you're either fearing total financial wreckage. You got it so good. Why in the world, Thomas, this is your voice that's telling you this. Why in the world would you step away from all that goodness and potentially nosedive the plane when you're cruising at 45,000 feet and we got the seatbelt turned off? Okay. I think it's that. And I think it might also be, or it's one or the other. It might be fear of peers. What are your family and friends going to say when you walk away from something this nice to actually do something that makes your heart beat fast again? Is it one or both of those fears?
I'd say it's both of those, definitely, and maybe a couple of others.
Give me the others.
Through.
Give me the others.
So the one, and it's probably going to sound crazy when I say it out loud, but I feel like if I'm not doing something that is maximizing my earning potential, if I'm not making as much as I am gifted, experienced, and talented to make, then I'm leaving something on the table, mm-hmm. and that doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. And then the other is, if I go and start my own thing, the idea of ever going back to a corporate job, I don't know that I could ever go back.
Yeah.
Once I experience that freedom.
Yeah.
So it's kind of feels like if I make this step, then this is it.
This is normal, by the way. Thomas, this is all normal for you to feel this way. But I got a solution. You ready? A solution that addresses all of those four fears. Start it on the side. You're bored out of your mind at your current job. Keep letting them pay you. You do your job. You're a man of principle. You're going to keep doing your job to the best of your ability, but start whatever this dream thing is on the side. people with far less resources and far less time than you have done it. So you certainly can do it. In fact, I think you're perfectly positioned. So I'm taking out all of this crazy risk in your mind. Now, there will come a time where you will have to leap. And it's not even going to be a leap. I think it's probably going to be a really nice, aggressive, big step from one dock onto a new boat. That's what I think. So I would stay where you are and keep filling up that 401k, all those vacation days. I mean, good night, man. Take some of those vacation days and spend them on the new business. But I would start it on the side.
So I've been working it on the side for about 5 years now.
Okay.
So I have been working and growing it, and it's just, it's not to the point where it's a one-to-one step as far as salary or income-wise.
We'll keep growing.
So I think that's where I'm struggling, is can I continue to grow it, or do I need to take that step in order to see it?
Well, how much revenue is it spinning off?
So last year, net taxable income was $48,000 off the side business.
Okay, great. So you're not quite to half, but you're almost to half. If you paid, well, you know what I should have said? How much could you pay yourself currently out of that 48? All of it?
That was all take-home pay.
Oh, great. Okay, so you're almost halfway there. You're acting like you've got a little Eeyore going on. You ought to be a little bit more fired up about what you've managed to do. Like, you've managed to generate half, let's just call it really close to half of your salary. Okay, you're not quite there, but you're half the way there. Let me ask you this. If you walked away today and were focused full-time on the side business, do you feel confident that you could generate $80,000 towards your paycheck?
I was estimating probably 60 to 65 in the near term.
Could you live on 60 to 65, given that you have no debt, plus you have 12 to 18 months of living expenses in the bank anyway? Could you and your wife or whoever, could you sacrifice, since you have no debt, to where that 60 to 65 wouldn't actually put you anywhere near uncomfortability, but you would use that, maybe you dip into that emergency fund a little bit in that first year?
Yeah, sure. That would not be a concern.
All right, but how much money do you have? So you made 105 plus you paid yourself the 48, so you brought in, call it 153, is that right?
Yeah, and then my wife, she earns about 35 a year.
Okay, what if you didn't pay yourself that 48 this next year? And let's just say you made another 2 and you made 50. What if you put 50 away in that side business bank account and it just sat there? And then what if the next year you did a little bit more and you hang in this current company, keep building this side thing for another year to 2 years, and your first year salary is in the bank waiting for you when you walk? What about that?
That sounds like a plan. Yeah.
But see, that's not a pipe dream, Thomas. That's extremely doable for you.
Yeah.
You can actually do that because you have no debt. And you've already got a really large emergency fund. I think it's all about, these are your two new words, Thomas. It's all you think about with the side business for the next year to two. Retained earnings. Yeah. Don't you dare spend a nickel of what you're throwing off right now. You put it all back into the company, and that is your first year's salary when you feel it's time to walk. And then bet on yourself. You'll be fine. Talk to your wife about what we talked about. Make sure she's on board, because you still got time to do this. But I think in another year to 2 years, you're ready to walk. Love that, Thomas. Go. Our time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're looking for boring financial talk, you're in the wrong place. This is not your mother's 401k meeting. This is life on the radio. And it's just downright entertaining. Thanks for hanging out with us, America. We're glad you're there.
To hear full episodes, just search Dave Ramsey wherever you listen to podcasts or go to DaveRamsey.com.